you have your Bibles this morning, and thank you, Paul. That was a beautiful song. Would you turn with me to the two places? First, to the book of 1 John, chapter, 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'll read first from 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And now 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of light, darkness, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you today for divine enablement, Lord, to preach your word. I'm asking you, Lord, for the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, to use me as your mouthpiece to encourage your people. Lord, make your word come alive in our hearts and lives today. And Father, I pray today that though the hour is late, there should be joy in the lives of your people. For Lord, you are about to reveal yourself from heaven in the most marvelous way this planet has ever seen. Lord, we look to that day. We look to your glorious appearing. But Father, until that day comes, we must occupy in this earthly tabernacle. And Lord, the hour is late and the darkness is thick. But thank God that we have the glorious light of Jesus Christ alive in our hearts and lives that will illuminate us and lead us and guide us through any darkness. And Lord, it's all made possible by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, open our eyes to these great truths today. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Word of God declares that sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness exalteth a nation. Now, I want us to go into that verse and look at it a little bit deeper. What's really being said? Sin is a reproach to any people. The cause of sin at its very root is a lack of faith in Jesus Christ. Not properly understanding or wanting to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us on the cross. Sin will run rampant if that truth is somehow not interjected or taught to human beings. And the end result of rejection of that truth will be sin in a multiplicitous fashion. But this latter part of the verse, but righteousness exalteth a nation. Of course, righteousness, from a biblical definition, is Christ and him crucified. For that's the only way anybody can be made righteous. So what is that scripture literally telling any nation or any people? It's saying that if you reject the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, abounding sin and debauchery is going to be the result in that people and in that nation. But if that people or that nation turns to God and His righteousness, which is only provided through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, that God will exalt that nation. I watched with gritted teeth this week on religious TV, and I say religious TV because it's no longer Christian TV, by and large. I watched on religious TV this week where a so-called prophet began to give out a great swelling prophecy of what was soon to come to pass in the church. And it was, I believe, a prophecy, but guided not by the Holy Spirit, but by demon spirits. Because of the content of what this man was saying. This man's name is Kim Clement, and he's known for a lot of foolishness, in my opinion. And it's pretty bad when somebody prophesies something like this world leader is going to rise up or this world leader is going to come down, and it doesn't happen. Any false prophecy is bad. But when a false prophecy attacks the gospel, and I want to be careful how I say this today, there is some false prophecy that has as its origin the human spirit, where somebody just wants to look important and they spout off a bunch of jargon. And the origin of that prophecy is the human spirit and human ego. That's bad. Any false prophecy is horrific. But when that false prophecy is guided by demon spirits, that makes it especially horrific in the sight of God, and it makes it particularly damaging to the body of Christ. And as Kim Clement began to give this prophecy, I want you to listen closely to what he said. And he said it this way. I made sure I got the quote down verbatim. Thus says the Spirit of the Lord, I have chosen this Pope. He is my man. I have washed him in my blood. And there is coming a union of the evangelical world and the Catholic Church. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. You may think on the surface, after a cursory thinking of what was said, that's not so bad, Pastor. It's horrible. Because the Catholic Church does not believe in salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then to say, supposedly under the Spirit of God, that God has selected the current Pope and has washed him in his blood. And as bad as that was, not one person went on to challenge him. They all sat there in sappy approval of what he just said. And this is going out all around the world to multiply millions of people. That's darkness, folks. That's darkness of the worst kind. And it's sad that it's come to that state in this great, once great nation of the United States of America. And I say once great because this nation has by and large turned from God. Sadly, our president is right. America is no longer a Christian nation. When someone could get up and say something like that over the airwaves in America and not be challenged by anyone, it shows you the state of the supposed church in America today. It shows you the lateness of the hour in which we're living. It shows that Jesus Christ must return soon. For Jesus said one of the great signs preceding his second coming would be that many false prophets would appear with lying signs and lying wonders. And so it is with, we gave an example of this man and his prophecy. That's darkness. Darkness is covering, spiritual darkness is covering much of the religious world today, because the religious world has done just what the Scripture has said. They have turned from the glorious light of Jesus Christ to spiritual darkness. Ezekiel prophesied to Israel. He said, the prophets are prophesying falsely, and my seers are telling lies. But the third part is bone chilling, and my people love to have it so. And my people love to have it so. Brother Ned Turvey gave me a statistic this morning before service that he didn't know what I was going to be preaching on. He said, here, Pastor, you just need to take a look at this. Only 46% of the church in the United States of America believes that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. 46% of the evangelical world. That's why I say, although the origin of Kim Clement's prophecy was not of the Holy Spirit, it originated in demon spirits, I believe we're going to see it come to pass. There's going to be a merging. There has to be. The Bible says it. Between the evangelical world and the Catholic Church, and the Muslims are going to be in the mix also, to create a one world system of unified worship. Darkness is covering the land. But church, the time for us who know the glorious truth of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ must not hang our heads in defeat right now. For we are not defeated, because there is victory in Jesus Christ. The word declares, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. Hallelujah. The entrance of the truth of the gospel into a heart or life will so illuminate that soul and spirit that no darkness will ever be able to penetrate it, as long as that person keeps their faith where it needs to be. So don't fear the darkness. The darkness has been conquered already by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who will always be the light of the world. No matter how hard men may try, no matter how far a backslidden church may fall away from His truth, they can never negate the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the Bible declares that in Him was light, and that light is the life of men. Hallelujah. The glorious light of the gospel will never be ultimately extinguished, because God is going to find some people that love Him and love His truth, that will transmit His message in purity, not for gain, not for money, but because they've fallen in love with a Savior who bore their sins and shed His blood so that they could be forgiven. Hallelujah. There's still folks out there that love Jesus. There's still folks out there, and God's raising them up. They're going to come from backwoods and alleys and streets of darkness, where He's going to reach down and pluck them out and save them. And just like in the days when He walked the earth, He did not choose the socially elite. He did not choose the brilliant orators of His day. He went to fishermen. He went to tax collectors. And He turned them into stalwarts for the gospel, because then He gets the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And church, do not fear the darkness that is covering this land, because we know we possess the glorious light of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and that in Him there is no darkness. Hallelujah. I don't care how many false prophets arise in this world today. In God's mathematical system, one can beat 400. Hallelujah. I'm recalling Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, where they tried with all of their chicanery and all of their showmanship to produce some type of spiritual power, and they couldn't do it. And Elijah took and poured water on his sacrifice and said, fire is going to fall from heaven and you'll know that my God is real. Oh, hallelujah, in the churches that will put their faith where it needs to be, the fire of God is going to fall on them and on individual lives. And God is going to show that His glorious light of the gospel in Jesus Christ can never be extinguished. Give Him praise and give Him glory today. Hallelujah. So in essence, what are we talking about with a prophecy like that? It's an attack on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so dangerous. For a man to stand and prophesy about another religious leader, the Pope, who does not even believe in salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may take exception to that, but I want to tell you. When you add something to the finished work of the cross, it's just as bad as not believing in the cross at all. Now, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about when you say that you've got to go through Mary to get to Jesus, it's a false gospel. When you say that you've got to take a wafer followed by a gulp of wine on your tongue, and that becomes God in you, and that's your salvation, that's a false gospel, and that's an attack on the cross. But to have the evangelical world put its stamp of approval on such through a so-called prophecy and say that the man heading up the Catholic Church is God's chosen man, and the evangelical world blindly follow that without challenging it, it shows you the darkness that is covering much of the so-called church today. There's coming a day, and it's now here. It's now here. It's not coming. It's here. There's not going to be any more sitting on the fence for nobody. You're going to have to choose truth or falsehood. You're going to have to choose light or you're going to have to choose darkness. And it's coming down to the choice of, do I love Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross? Or am I more concerned with what people think of me? That's the choice that the Holy Spirit is going to see to it. That everyone who names the name of Jesus is brought to that place, to where it's black and white, no gray area. There's never been any gray area. But the church for years has believed such. That's why it's sunk to the state it's in, because the church has turned from the cross. The church has turned to believing in everything else but Christ and Him crucified. I want to say this. You can name the name of Jesus Christ all you want to. But if you do not believe that His death on the cross and the shedding of His precious blood purchased salvation for all men and women everywhere, then you are not believing in the Jesus of Scripture. You've created another Jesus and another gospel that's anointed by another spirit, as Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you hear more and more false prophecy coming forth, to look up, because there's light in your life if your faith is in Jesus Christ. Let me take you for just a moment to the Old Testament temple. When you walked into the most holy place, off to the right would be the table of showbread, symbolizing Jesus as the bread of life. Off to the left would be the menorah, the golden lampstand, which was the only light in that temple. It would be total darkness, so much so that you probably couldn't see your hand in front of you if that menorah had ever gone out. It's the seven-pronged lampstand, symbolizing Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And directly in front of the most holy veil would be the altar of incense. And even the layout of that tabernacle and where that light was placed speaks of Christ and Him crucified. For you have the golden altar of incense just before the veil. And then you have off to the left the menorah. And then off to the right the table of showbread. And then at the foot of all that you had the entrance to the most holy place. And if you could look at a picture of that, what you would see, the way God even had the temple laid out, is a perfect shape of a cross. a cross. Because it's only through the cross that we can go into the Holy of Holies. Michelle and them sang about it this morning. We can go beyond the veil, hallelujah. We can walk into the very Shekinah glory of God Almighty. But the only way that is possible is through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care how much social status the church may attain or how much political approval may be given to her. We are nothing without the precious shed blood of Christ. If our faith is not in that, there is no light. There is no light. But with our faith in that precious shed blood, no darkness can ever overcome you, child of God. Yes, we should be concerned about the darkness. Yes, we should worry somewhat when we hear false prophecies like I've mentioned. But we must evermore turn and look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the light of the world, and we are in Him, hallelujah. In Him who there is no shadow of turning, hallelujah. We're sheltered safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Like the old song says, what have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. You're leaning on the everlasting arms. And the light of Jesus Christ is illuminating your soul. And that light is more powerful than any darkness that any demon in hell may attempt to throw at it. Praise God. But the attack is coming on the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Satan knows. He's smarter than most of the church. He knows that if he can get the church to stop believing and trusting in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, he can lead that church anywhere he wants to. His work is done. His work is done. And much of Christendom has become so hungry for worldly approval. I read it just this week in preparation for this message. How two of the largest Pentecostal denominations in the world are calling in business experts from Wall Street to get advice on how to operate their churches. Now, don't get me wrong on what I'm saying. Please don't think I'm just up here belting out something ignorant. Yes, it's good to get advice on how to operate fiscally in the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're calling them in to have them tell you how to do a market survey to find out what to preach to your people, that's an abomination in the sight of God. Because He has revealed us what He wants preached. It's no secret. But many times, here's the rub. What He wants preached will not produce the kind of finances that much of the church wants to have. Amen, Mahari? Yeah. Yeah. What the gospel has never produced huge followings. Now, I'm talking about in comparison to all of humanity. The true gospel of Jesus Christ has never produced a large following. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It's in a denomination I was formerly in, and I was somewhat of an executive, as many of you know, in that denomination. We're at this big state meeting, and they were, to all of us in quote-unquote leadership, they were telling us how to make our churches grow. They were inserting all of these techniques of Wall Street and telling us it was all about numbers. It was all about numbers. Why, Brother So-and-so did this, and his church went from 20 to over 5,000. In just a few short years. And the thought is, you can do it too. You know, it kind of reminds me of a Ronco commercials, what it reminded me of. You know how they make the dumbest thing just sound like you can't live without it? They'll make the pocket fisherman sound like every man, woman, boy, and girl's got to have it, you know? And they were talking about all of these numbers. No wonder they'd get so mad at me. But I was trying to make a point in love, not to be sarcastic or mean, but this brother had gone on for hours telling us all these techniques. It's going to make our churches grow and put thousands into our pews. And I couldn't help but ask the question when it came my turn. I said, would you men like to have Jesus speak at one of these seminars? They just all looked at me like I was from Mars, as they did most of the time. They said, well, of course we'd love to have Jesus if he was available to speak at one of these seminars. I said, well, then can you tell me why he took a church of 5,000 down to 12 overnight, and was he using the same techniques you're espousing? You know, that happened. The Lord of Glory took a megachurch down to 12 people overnight when he preached the gospel, when he told him you're going to have to carry a cross, when he told him you're going to have to die to yourself, when they saw it wasn't all going to be loaves and fishes, but there was going to be a cost for following Jesus, they scattered. And I told him, I said, gentlemen, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I'm saying, in this word, I believe we have everything we need to grow our churches in a way that pleases God. And I said, our job is to please him first and to preach his gospel first. And if it brings growth, fine. And if he chooses to let the church stay small, that's up to him. Our mission is to preach the truth. Well, they quickly escorted me out of there shortly after that. And I was glad, because I was bored to tears anyway. Oh, yeah, they did it nicely. They did it nicely. You know what they told me? They said, Brother Browning, we've got some sheets across town that we need picked up over at Kinko's. Would you mind going to get them? I said, I'll gladly go get them. And I went and got them and brought them back, and guess what? The meeting was done when I got back. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, I took my time on that drive across town. I stopped at McDonald's, got me a Coke and an ice cream, and... But do you see the foolishness in that? That's darkness. When the church turns from the word of Almighty God to the techniques of Wall Street to grow our churches or to produce a result, I'm going to tell you something here today. In this present darkness that's covering the religious world in America, nobody really cares what God wants. How often do you hear somebody preach on what's pleasing to God? How do you know God wants you to have a mega church? Yes, the Lord wants people saved, but he wants them brought in his way. He wants it done his way, because only by the new birth, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, can a person be made right with God. And Satan knows if he takes the blood away from the church has no power, and the church becomes no different than the techniques that are offered on Wall Street. That's what separates us from the world. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have the greatest power that this world will ever see, the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost alone can change a heart. The Holy Ghost alone can bring a person and show them their need for Christ. And the Holy Ghost will only flow and move when Christ crucified is preached. So all we're doing is we're producing mega religious organizations. You can't even really call them churches. That's the darkness that we're in. But this light of Jesus Christ, the glorious light of his gospel, will never be extinguished. Because there has always been some few that would fall more in love with him and what he's done for them than having a lot of money or having the accolades of man thrown at them. I want to be one of those people. I really do. And I'm not where I ought to be. But I know my faith's in the right place, and I'm praying, Lord, do a work in me. Keep doing it. Don't quit. Sometimes the Lord's got to take us a rough way. Crucifixion's a hard thing, folks. And when the command came to crucify our flesh, there's only one way for that to be done. God's got to take us through some difficult circumstances that are going to try our faith. That's why the same book of 1 Peter says that the trying, or I believe it's in 2 Peter, that the trying of your faith is more precious than that of pure gold. Why? Because when our faith is tried, and by faith I'm speaking of, are we going to hold on to the truth of Christ and Him crucified no matter what? Every test of faith has that at the heart of it. In whatever form or capacity it comes, the heart of that test of faith is, are you going to keep your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross? Or are you going to choose something else? Are you going to choose popularity? Are you going to choose money? Are you going to choose fame? Because Satan will wave all of his baubles in front of the child of God to try to lead them into darkness. But the only light there is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ and faith in it. Crucifixion's a hard thing. That's what scattered the crowd that day that Jesus began to declare it. When he said those words in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If we're going to walk in the light, there's going to be some difficult times. Because God has to crucify us to our flesh and to our selfish way. And flesh dies hard, folks. The flesh dies very hard. That's why this message of the cross is so unpopular. That's why it was unpopular when Jesus preached it. That's why it's unpopular today. Because it tells mankind, first of all, you can't save yourself. And there's no help for you outside of the precious shed blood of Christ. And secondly, it tells man that it will cost you something to follow Jesus Christ. Because this world is going to turn on you like a rabid dog once you make up your mind to follow Jesus Christ. It will. It will, if you're really going to follow Jesus. But here's the glory. Here's the glory. He puts His precious light in us. And He gives us His joy. And He gives us His peace. And He gives us His promise. Church, it ain't going to be like this forever. We need to identify it now, and we need to address it now, and we need to know that the light that is in us is never going to be extinguished, and it will always be more powerful than any darkness that's coming upon this nation or the church. But we need to know this: it ain't going to be that way forever. This world is about to see the greatest revelation it's ever seen. I want you to think about what I'm saying now as I begin to close. This world is about to see the greatest revelation it's ever seen. Because Jesus Christ, literally and bodily, is about to reveal Himself from heaven. That sends chill bumps all over my body, just the thought and the utterance of that. But every attack of darkness is going to come against the blood of Christ. Because that's the one event, the shedding of Christ's blood, that Satan knows if a person has their faith in that, he cannot defeat them. So he tries with every tactic and every bauble he's got to wave in front of the believer to get them to turn from that truth. And there's going to be a reproach for following Jesus Christ. If you're really going to follow Jesus, people are going to think you're a nut. They're going to look askance at you. They're going to see you as out of step. They're going to see you as being politically incorrect. They're going to see you as a bigot. Jesus said, in essence, if they've spat upon me and they've beat me and called me a liar and a false prophet and a wine bibber, what do you think they're going to do to you if you come in my name? But to help us overcome this temporary situation, He's given us the glorious light of His gospel to keep our souls illuminated and our spirits burning brightly, no matter what darkness may attempt to overtake us. But know that all that is predicated upon the precious blood of Christ. That light burning is predicated upon faith in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why every attack from the enemy in some way is going to come upon the validity and the veracity of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There was a particular church. It's a true story. I read it this week. Young, beautiful girl was raised in the Church of Jesus Christ for a large portion of her life. She believed in Jesus Christ. But she was beautiful and she was talented, and she began to go out and sing in the nightclubs rather than in the churches, which God had gifted her to do. And for a time, she had a modicum of success and made a name for herself in worldly circles. But after a time, as it is with everybody, when Satan waves one of his baubles in front of them and draws them away from Christ, the bookings begin to stop. The popularity begin to fade. She found herself to where she couldn't support herself any longer, and she turned to a life of drugs and prostitution. For a number of years, she became a literal streetwalker and drug addict. Tremendously beautiful and talented young lady. But one Sunday morning, she found her way back to a small Baptist church and gave her heart and life to Jesus again. And Jesus took her back. Aren't you glad He'll always take us back? Oh, I love Him. There's most of us wouldn't be here this morning if He hadn't taken us back, because many of us knew the truth and for a number of years chose to rebel against it and stray from it. But there came that day, like Paul mentioned in the story of the prodigal son and that beautiful song he sang. We found His grace again, and He took us back. So it was for this young lady, and she became a stalwart of faith in that local body. And she began to sing again for Jesus Christ, and the Lord totally restored her in every area of her life and blessed her. And so much so that she became engaged to the pastor's son. And about 3/4 of the church became angry over that, because they said, with this lady's background, she's not worthy to be married to a pastor's son. Now, this is in the church. They had to have a big meeting over it. And in the meeting, the pastor's son humbly and quietly stepped to the microphone. And he said, "This isn't about my fiancé's past." He said, "My brothers and sisters, what you're attacking is the blood of Jesus Christ." He said, "Do you believe it can cleanse from all sin? Do you believe that when faith is placed in Christ and what He did at the cross, that person is made new again in Him? Old things are passed away and all is made new." And the literal sounds of weeping begin to rise from the pews of that church. And the church as a whole signed a petition and sent it to the young lady, asking her to forgive them for their lack of compassion and understanding of the cross and the grace of Jesus Christ. Now think of that. You see, that's why there's so much foolishness going on in the church world today. It's because the cross hasn't been preached. God's system of redemption and how it takes place has not been properly taught to people in the pews. So they don't know. Hence, they're ripe for any charlatan like Kim Clement coming down the pike with his false prophecies. And because it's done under the guise of the church in the name of Jesus, because they haven't been taught any better, they believe that kind of foolishness. That's darkness of the worst kind. That's darkness of the worst kind. Our little body here, and I'm not saying this to puff us up in any way, it's all because of Jesus. But we're so important to the kingdom of God. I know we're not important to most of the world, but this little body right here and you people seated in those pews, the few of you that there is, that there are, excuse me, never forget your importance to the kingdom of God. Because as I look out over this crowd today, I know overwhelmingly nearly everyone here today has their faith resting exclusively in Christ and Him crucified. That means you're a bearer of the light of Jesus Christ to this dark world. Don't ever let Satan minimize you and make you feel unimportant. You're carrying in you the illuminating truth of Jesus Christ. And it's all because your faith has been placed in His precious shed blood. And you're going to go through some difficult times. But your Lord is in control of it all. Your Lord is in control of it all. And He will not allow you to be tested above that which you can stand. Because the Lord tests. Satan tempts. The Lord tests. Satan tempts to try to lure us away and destroy us. God tests to prove that what's on the inside of us is true and will work. Because it is true. It's the only truth there is in this world. Jesus Christ and His atoning work on Calvary. That's the light that you're carrying around in you. And I want you to know today, the Holy Spirit wants you to know, you are important to the kingdom of Almighty God for that reason. Because there are so few carrying that light right now. There are so few carrying that light in their soul. Because they have shifted their faith off of the precious shed blood of Christ onto popularity, onto wealth, onto worldly acceptance. And those folks and what they're believing in, and it's their gods that they've made up, they're one day going to crumble. And when they do, they're going to need the light. They're going to need somebody who knows the truth of God's word to tell them, your answer is Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. He'll restore your life. He'll take that mess you've made if you'll give your life to Him. And He'll restore it and He'll make it like it never happened. I want you to listen to something. Somebody needs to hear this morning. One of my favorite scriptures is found in the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, where God told Israel, after Israel had so drifted and so turned her back and worshipped idols of stone and gold, and God in love sent judgment upon them, and they were near starvation. Many of them were starving. He told them, if you'll return to Me, I'll restore the years unto you that the locust and the palmer worm has eaten away. I want to tell you something. No matter how deep in sin a person goes, and no matter how ugly sin's horrific effects takes on their life, if that person will come back to Jesus Christ and dedicate their life to Him and put their faith exclusively in Him, He can make it so it will look like those lean, horrible years had never happened in that individual's life. That's the power of God. That kind of power is not produced by a seminar. That kind of power does not emanate from Wall Street. That kind of power only comes through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which allows the Holy Spirit of God to go to work on a person's life. And Jesus can do it. Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit can take away the taste of alcohol. He can take away the hunger for cocaine. He can take away the wrongful, lustful desires of a human heart. I'm talking about the power of Almighty God. The power that spoke the worlds into being. It's real. It's real. It's real. And it's available. But only one way. This awesome power to change a human heart and to change a human life. That's the good news. It's available. But it's only available one way. Through faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. This power it's changed countless lives. It's restored the human wreckage of many millions of lives. He's done it for me. It brought a tear to my eye. He probably didn't know it. I kind of had to swallow hard last night. I was talking with Austin. And we were talking about things in the world because I want him to be educated. And the subject of alcohol came up. He said, Dad, did you ever drink wine? I said, yes, I used to, Austin. He said, did you drink beer? I said, yeah. I said, Daddy even drank a lot of whiskey and vodka and hard liquor. He said, Dad, I can't ever imagine you having done that. I thought, that's what Jesus can do. Because Vonnie saw me. She remembers. She's one of the few who's known me before my conversion to the Lord and has seen what God has done for me. And I'm here to tell you, when I'm preaching to you today, it'll work. It's the only thing that will work. And there's enough power to change your life. But it will only be made available to you if you come to Christ and put your faith in what He did for you on the cross. Because the darkness of sin is too powerful. The darkness of sin that so grips your life with its ugly tentacles. Listen to me. We're all in this boat. I'm not talking down to nobody. But there is no human being born that can extricate himself from the power of sin. We're born sinners, helplessly bound by sin. And we cannot extricate ourselves from this ugly, horrible grip that sin has around our lives through human effort, through any plan or program of man, but through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can be delivered from sin's power. Every problem you're experiencing today, sinner, it's sin has a grip on your life. And you can't break free from it. God knows that. And God loves you enough that He sent His only Son to make a way for you to be free from sin. But that's the only way. So you've got a choice right now. Every human being has a choice. You've heard the gospel this morning. You know there's a way out. And I'll tell you this, and it may be kind of a rough way to say it, but if you're bound by alcohol and drugs this morning and you sincerely come and give your life to Christ and He don't deliver you, I'll go get high with you. I've got that much confidence. I've got that much confidence. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but Jesus Christ in His grace has resurrected my soul and spirit from being one of the walking dead. And now I have life, and I have it more abundantly in Him. Jesus is more powerful than Jack Daniels. He's more powerful than cocaine. He's more powerful than demon lust. He's more powerful than anything in this world. And He can set you free. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Father, in the name of Jesus today, I feel my words have been so halting and stumbling today. But Lord, my faith is not in my words. My faith is in Your word. And Lord, we have declared the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ today. And I'm asking now for the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do and show every man, woman, boy, and girl who needs deliverance from sin. Lord, they may think it's alcohol. They may think it's cocaine. That's just a symptom. The problem is sin. And only You, Jesus, can deliver from sin. Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to show any soul that needs deliverance today this glorious truth. Make it clear, make it plain, and make it known that it's available to them through a loving Savior who went to the cross of Calvary. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and no one looking around, please. Are there any today who would say, I'm bound by sin? I didn't say alcohol, I didn't say drugs, I didn't say sexual immorality. The problem is sin. The other things are just a symptom of the sin. mankind has a sin problem, and only Jesus Christ can deliver you from sin. If you would say, Pastor, I'm in sin today, and I need deliverance from sin. I need Jesus to do for me what you've told me he can do. If that's you, just slip up a hand right now without hesitation. God bless you. I see that hand. Are there any others? I need Jesus to do for me what only he can do. This could be a great day of victory. It's going to be a great day of victory for some. Are there any others? I need Jesus to set me free from sin. And when he sets you free from sin, hear me, the drinking will stop, the drugs will stop, the lust will no longer dominate your life. As long as you keep your faith and trust in him and what he did for you on the cross. Are there any others? I need Christ. I need him to deliver me from sin today. I need to come out of the darkness that I've been living in. It's so heavy, I can't hardly live. You can walk out of that darkness into the marvelous and glorious light of Jesus Christ today. He's calling you today at this hour. Don't put it off. Are there any others? The Holy Spirit's moving mightily. I know you know it. I need him to deliver me from sin. Are there any others? Unashamedly, if that's you, raise your hand. And I'm going to ask those of you. I'm going to ask Mahari, Paul, would you all come stand here at the front? You raised your hand and you said, I want him to deliver me today. I want you to come now. And these men are going to pray with you. Praise God. Praise God. Are there any others? Though these men will pray with you. I want everybody, if you would you stretch forth your hand toward John? John, I want you to listen to me for just a minute. This is a day of victory to you. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Okay? But I think I know what you came down here for. Okay? Simply trust Jesus for it. He'll do it for you. He's already paid the price for you. The price has already been paid. All you have to do is receive it from him today. And I believe you want total deliverance in every area of your life. Would you all stretch forth your hand toward John? Believe him now, John. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask for you to deliver John in every area of his life, Lord. Father, the things that have a grip on him, I pray that you'll so do a work in his spirit at this moment that these things would appear so ugly and dirty to him that he'll want no part of them any longer. Lord, I believe you're doing it right now for him by your grace and mercy, based upon his faith in Jesus Christ. John, be delivered, receive it. His power is all over you. Fill him to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit, Lord. Drive out, Holy Ghost, every darkness. Drive out every improper desire, I ask in the name of Jesus, by the power of Almighty God. We believe it done now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody, y'all keep praying with him, would you? I'm going to ask everybody else who would you come now and present yourself at the altar of God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we stand in the presence of Almighty God today, I feel the Holy Spirit would have you all to know in this little body, the darkness is going to get worse. The spiritual darkness over this world, and particularly the United States of America, it's going to get worse. I believe I've heard from God on this. America is under the judgment of Almighty God right now. Just like in the Old Testament when Israel kept crying out, give us a king like other nations. It was never God's will for them to have a king like every other nations. He wanted to be their king. But they kept crying out, give us a king, give us a king. And the prophet Samuel told him and tried to reason with him. God's going to give you what you ask for if you keep pleading with him. But this king will take your sons and daughters and he'll turn them into military men. He'll tax you. How familiar is that? He'll tax you. And he'll take of your wealth. He almost pled with him, let me, let God, let Jehovah be your king. But yet they kept crying out, give us a king. America for years has cried out, give us somebody who let us do whatever we want to do. And now that's happened. Now that's happened in the United States of America. So the spiritual darkness in America, and I don't care if this man's only in office 4 years and we get a... There's no hope in the Republicans. Can I tell you that? There's no hope in a Republican. America's gone too far, and we're under the judgment of God. It's going to be darkness, by and large, covering the land. But in you and I, and in all who truly have their faith and trust in Christ and what he did on the cross, you are carrying the glorious light of his gospel on the inside of you. Your soul and your spirit is illuminated by Holy Ghost power. And there will be no darkness that can ever overcome you as a child of God. I want you to know, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us all to know, we can trust the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he's deposited in our soul and spirit. It'll overcome the darkness. It has throughout the centuries. It's been proven throughout the centuries. Millions of despotic leaders have arisen and attempted to extinguish the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of the despotic leaders have fallen into historical oblivion, but the light of Jesus Christ still burns brightly. We're going to make it. Soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is about to reveal himself from heaven to this entire world. Literally and physically, he is about to appear in the clouds to call his church home. Darkness will never overcome the true child of God. But never forget this basic biblical truth. We can't be reminded of it enough. That light only shines when it's fed by the precious oil of the Holy Spirit. And that precious oil of the Holy Spirit only flows when faith is placed exclusively in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Church, the cross is going to carry us through this darkness. Faith in Christ crucified is going to carry us through this darkness. Trust that. Trust that. Look to the glorious light of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope we have. Don't hope in a political party. Don't hope in wealth. Don't hope in Wall Street. Because all that's going to fade. All that's going to go away. All of it's going to crumble. We must know, not just intellectually, but in our spirit, that faith in Jesus Christ is the only hope any of us have. That's all. I know that may sound like an oversimplification, but it's not. Faith only in Jesus Christ is what's going to see us through to our eternal reward. And it's coming soon and very soon. Could you, we just lift our hands in praise as we're dismissed? And I just want to pray a prayer over us all. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're living in great darkness in the land today. But Lord, we know that in our souls we confess the glorious light of Jesus Christ that is our life. Lord, you said the entrance of your word bringeth light. And Lord, we have received your word into our hearts, and your word is Jesus. Father, give us confidence now to know that in the coming days, as the darkness increases, you will hold us in your hand. You will secure us in Jesus Christ. You will provide for us, Lord, no matter what the economy is doing. We look exclusively, Jesus, unto you, and we confess today, with hands raised in submission to you, you, Jesus, are our hope. You, Jesus, are our only light. You, Lord Jesus, are our life. Glory to God. Only you, Lord Jesus. Only you. Our faith, our hope, and our trust, and our future is secure in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Just worship Him a few moments, saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll refresh every saint of God around this altar this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that you will solidify the certainty of this glorious light overcoming the darkness in every spirit around this altar today. And we give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen and amen. Would you give Him a hand of praise today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. John, you walk in the freedom He's given you. Okay? It hasn't come. You've got it. You just walk in it. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Did you have something you wanted to say, honey?